ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading from Canto 6, Chapter 7, verses 2 to 12. So verse 12 is on the board, so I'll read verses 2, and then when I get to 12, then we'll have the Sanskrit. This is verses 2 to 8. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, once upon a time, the King of Heaven, Indra, being extremely proud because of his great opulence of the three worlds, transgressed the law of Vedic etiquette. Seated on his throne, he was surrounded by the Maruts, Vasus, Rujas, Adityas, Ribhus, Vishwadevs, Sadhyas, Ashini Kumaras, Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, and by great saintly persons. Also surrounding him were the Vidyadharas, Apsaras, Kinaras, Patagas, birds, and Udagas, snakes. All of them were offering Indra their respects and services, and the Apsaras and Gandharvas were dancing and singing with very sweet musical instruments. Over Indra's head was a white umbrella as effulgent as the full moon, fanned by yak-tail whisks and served with all the paraphernalia of a great king. Indra was sitting with his wife Sachi Devi, who occupied half the throne, when the great sage Brihaspati appeared in that assembly. Brihaspati, the best of sages, was a spiritual master of Indra and the demigods, and was respected by the demigods and demons alike. Nevertheless, although Indra saw his spiritual master before him, he did not rise from his own seat or offer a seat to his spiritual master, nor did Indra offer him a respectful welcome. Indra did nothing to show him respect. Brihaspati knew everything that would happen in the future. Seeing Indra's transgression of etiquette, he completely understood that Indra was puffed up by his material opulence. Although able to curse Indra, he did not do so. Instead, he left the assembly and in silence returned to his home. Indra, the King of Heaven, could immediately understand his mistake. Realizing he had disrespected his spiritual master, he condemned himself in the presence of all the members of the assembly. Alas, what a regrettable deed I have committed because of my lack of intelligence and my pride in my material opulences. I failed to show respect to my spiritual master when he entered this assembly, and thus I have insulted him. So now we'll go to verse 12. Ko grityet pandito lakshmi, ko grityet pandito lakshmi, tibishta papatet api, yayaham asuram bhavam, nito dhyaviputeshara. Chant. Kogadip Pandita Lakshmi Ipishtapa Pati Api Yayaham Asram Bhavam Nitodya Viputeshara Kogadip Pandita Lakshmi Ipishtapa Pati Api Yayaham asuram bhavam nitodya viputeshvara. Vaishnavis? Kokilhe pandita lakshmi Yipishtapa pati api Yayaham asuram bhavam Nitya Vibhuteshwara Kaha, who Grihyet would accept Panditaha, a learned man, Lakshmim, opulences, Chipishtapater api, although I am the king of the demigods, Yaya, by which, Aham, I, Asuram, demoniac, Bhavam, mentality, Nitaha, carried to, Adya, now, Vibhurha, of the demigods, who are in the mode of goodness, Ishraha, the king. Translation. Although I am the king of the demigods who are situated in the mode of goodness, I was proud of a little opulence and polluted by false ego. Under the circumstances, who in this world would accept such riches at the risk of falling down? Alas, I condemn my wealth and opulence. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Natanam Nachanam Nasundarin Bhavitam Vajagarish Kamaye. O my Lord, I do not aspire for material opulence or wealth, nor do I want a great number of followers to accept me as their leader, nor do I want a very beautiful wife to please me. Mama Chanmani Chanmani Shale Bhavatad Bhaktirohai Tukitwe. I do not even want liberation. All I want, life after life, is to be a faithful servant of your lordship. According to the laws of nature, when one is extremely opulent, one becomes degraded. And this is true both individually and collectively. The demigods are situated in the mode of goodness, but sometimes even one who is situated in such an exalted position as King Indra, king of all the demigods, falls down because of material opulence. We are now actually seeing this in America. The entire American nation has tried to advance a material opulence without striving to produce ideal human beings. The result is that Americans are now regretting the wholesale criminality of American society and are wondering how America has become so lawless and unmanageable. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.31, Nate vidusartakatim hi vishnum. Persons who are unenlightened do not know the aim of life, which is to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, both individually and collectively, they try to enjoy so-called material comforts, and they become addicted to wine and women. The men produced in such society are less than fourth class. They are the unwanted population known as Varnasankara. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita, an increase of Varnasankara population creates a hellish society. This is a society in which Americans now find themselves. Fortunately, however, the Hare Krishna movement has come to America, and many fortunate young men are giving serious attention to this movement, which is creating ideal men of first-class character, men who completely refrain from meat-eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. If the American people are serious about curbing the degraded criminal life of their nation, they must take to the Krishna consciousness movement and try to create the kind of human society advised in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvanyamayashistam gunakarma vipagasha. They must divide their society into first-class men, second-class men, third-class men, and fourth-class men. Since they are now creating only men who are less than fourth-class, how can they avoid the dangers of a criminal society? Long, long ago, Lord Indra regretted his disrespect to his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Similarly, it is advised the American people regret their mistaken advancement in civilization. They should take advice from the spiritual master, the representative of Krishna. If they do so, they will be happy, and theirs will be an ideal nation to lead the entire world. Mukam karati vachalam bhangam langhyate girim Yaki pam tamam bande shigurum genitarinam. O megana timirandasya ganan chara shalakaya. Chakshuminitam yena tasamai shigurave namaha. So Prabhupada says in the purport here that Americans are now regretting the criminality of American society. So it's very interesting. By reading this purport, I could understand which year Srila Prabhupada wrote this purport. The year was 1975. And Srila Prabhupada got a magazine article from the Chicago newspaper. And the title was Crime, Why and What to Do About It. So here Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, they should take advice from the spiritual master. So Prabhupada, he gave his advice to the police department of Chicago. One man came to interview Prabhupada about his ideas, how to avoid crime. So Prabhupada gave his advice. So we are suggesting, because they are unclean in heart, therefore there's crime. So the article said, why is there crime? Prabhupada said, because they're unclean in heart. Therefore, what to do? Then he answered the question, what to do? If they chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam, their consciousness will change. So Prabhupada had the answers for the article, crime, why, and what to do. And then after that, he was begging for a facility from the Chicago Police Department. He said, you know, we are like a poor medical man with small practice, but if you give facility, we can open a big hospital. So he was telling the police department, he was saying, you give us some nice facility. And later on, he met the mayor of Evanston, which was a very high-class suburb where the temple was situated. It was near Northwestern University. That's where I went to college, Northwestern University. So he went to the mayor, and he had seen a beautiful building. He said, you please give us this building for a temple, and we will solve your crime problem. And the mayor said, oh, yeah, well, excuse me, but that building is meant for our city hall. It's for our government. We're going to move in very soon. And Prabhupada said, well, we could probably do a better job, you know. But the man was very polite, but he said, no, we actually need it for our government. But Prabhupada, he just went to the top and he asked for the highest thing, like shooting the rhinoceros, as they said. So that was Srila Prabhupada. So Indra, he is showing disrespect to his guru. And therefore, he will fall down. The demons are going to defeat the demigods, as they have many times. And so Indra was a devotee. Why did he make this mistake? Devotees make mistakes, and devotees fall down. We see that in our ISKCON movement. So why does this happen even amongst devotees, that we get some power, we get some wealth, and we become proud of our position? And so His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, just before he left his body, he gave a class. And he said in his class, it's one of his last words, when a man is dying, you want to hear their last words. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, she said, so many of us have been pioneers. Pioneers make sacrifices for future generations, but ultimately they establish the foundation. And so we came to India in 1972 with Srila Prabhupada, and we were living in very austere conditions. But because Prabhupada was with us, we didn't care. We wanted to make this temple in Vrindavan, the temple in Mayapur, and the temple in Bombay. And so we tolerated. So we have a lot. The special mercy is that there's so much we did is in our spiritual bank account. Some of us are devotees over 40 years, some 30 years, 20 years. So we have a nice spiritual bank account full of spiritual credits. And so many devotees, they build up their bank account, but then when it's time to cash in to their bank account and make spiritual advancement, then Maya finds a way to trick them out of it. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj says, we come to a crossroads in our spiritual life, and we have to choose the path of comfort. Okay, maybe I can make a lot of money now, or the choice of surrender, selflessness, selfishness or selflessness. So we fall down because we become proud. Yes, I'm a great devotee. This pride it comes before the fall. So Indra, he had this pride. Another problem is aparad, or offense. So Indra also had this problem. He committed an offense to his spiritual master. So two problems for Indra, pride and offense. And the third problem that devotees have is a lack of quality association. Here, Indra, he was surrounded by people praising him, giving him all the honor, giving him... So if you're a devotee for a long time, sometimes you get a position like that and everyone praises you and gives you a lot of honor. So that can be a cause of fall down, that you don't have association of people who chastise you and give you the sauce, like Prabhupada did. He chastised me. Sometimes he praised me, sometimes he chastised me, because I was pujari in Calcutta. And one time he said, why is the ghee lamp so dirty? Because we had these big, tall ghee lamps, because the light was always going out. And he said, who has done this? So we don't escape. Prabhupada gives us the sauce. And other times he would praise us. Oh, who has decorated the deity so beautifully? So if you don't have some... No one is chastising Indra. His guru came in. He's the only one who could chastise Indra. And we will see how he chastised. He disappeared. So if we're surrounded by people who just praise us, then that could be a cause of fall down. We don't try to improve ourselves. And then the fourth cause of fall down is a lack of understanding of some of the dynamics of advancement in spiritual life. That we should know there is a process from shada to prema, and we go through these different levels of spiritual life. And there comes a level which is called anartha nivritti. And this level actually comes, and you sometimes have doubts. You sometimes lose your faith. You sometimes, people criticize you. You are tested. So we should know that this will happen. It will happen to everyone. Don't think it won't happen to you, as Prabhupada used to say. It will happen to all of us. So Indra, three of the four of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's criteria he had for fall down, and he did fall down. So Indra is showing the symptoms of fall down, that he is committing offense to his spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada, what does he advise? He advises that we follow the Varnashram Dharma system and the purport. Now this Varnashram is a culture of respect. It is not a dominating culture where you're exploited. That could be a symptom of asuric varnashram, but daiva varnashram, which Prabhupada wanted to establish, that is a culture of respect. And Indra was not following this culture, and therefore he fell down. So this varnashram will only succeed if bhakti is there, if love is there, if love for Krishna is there. There is a verse in Bhagavatam, Atapumbi Jijashesta Varnashama Vibhagasha Sarastitashitaramasha Sangsidir Hari Toshanam. That, oh, best of the brahmanas, one can attain perfection by performing your prescribed duties in Varnashram if the purpose is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without bhakti, Varnashram becomes asuric Varnashram. So Prabhupada explains four principles, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. For the vaishyas and grihastas, artha, making money, that is most important. So what this means is that the grihastas must give charity and support the other three ashrams. All three ashrams must engage in charity, as Gita says in 18th chapter, acts of charity, penance, and sacrifice are not to be given up. They purify even the great souls. So why charity? Because purification of heart. So brahmanas, so Prabhupada was begging charity from the police department, and they didn't give, and he was begging charity from the mayor of the city. He was not aware of the Varnashram culture, so he did not give the city hall for Srila Prabhupada. So what kind of charity do the brahmins give? The brahmins give knowledge. So brahmana grihastas, Prabhupada says in a purport, should be satisfied with a life of adhyapan, yajan, being learned scholars, teaching others the Vedas, doing deity worship, and teaching others how to worship the Lord. Now, what charity do the kshatriyas give? They give land to the vaishyas. They give food to the people when there is need. The kshatriyas perform huge sacrifices, and they give all kinds of wealth and things in charity in those sacrifices. What sort of charity do the Vaishyas give? The Vaishyas give money and also the products, their milk products and other things. And the Shudras give their bodies in labor. So all of the four varnas, they have to give in charity. But now we do not have this in the West. We have Ugra Karma. Everybody is engaged in horrible factories and difficult work. I was so surprised to learn, even in India this has come. I mean, of course, factories are there, but not just factories. But it used to be when I was living in America that 9 to 5, you work at 9 in the morning until 5 at night, and then your work is finished. But now I was talking to someone from Delhi. They said, no, now we have to work 12, 13 hours every day. That is the standard. I couldn't believe it. America, too, is the standard now, too, that people, because there are no jobs, so those who have a job, they're made to work double time, 1.5 times. So this Ugra Karma is here, even in India. Prabhupada said that factory is another name for hell. So one of my godbrothers, Bhajahari, he was talking to Srila Prabhupada. He said, you know, Prabhupada, I used to work in a factory. And I almost had a nervous breakdown because I was working in this factory. Prabhupada said, yes, because in your last life you were all Brahmins, and now we are here together again. So, yes, our human form of life is not meant to be a slave, to sell ourselves just for some money. And Prabhupada wanted this Daiva Varnashram. So what does this mean? It means the varnas and ashrams are interdependent, and everything is based on sangsidhir haritoshanam, to please Krishna. There is a beautiful verse in Canto 4, Chapter 21, Verse 25 about Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj said, my dear citizens, for the welfare of your king after his death, you should execute your duties properly in varnashram and always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your hearts. So two things. Do your duties in varnashram and think of Krishna at the same time. By doing so, you will protect your own interests and you will give mercy on your king for his welfare after his death. Now, who cares about the president? Who cares about the king? That in those days, varnashram was based on love. Everything was based on love, culture of respect. The citizens loved the king loved the citizens. The king would do everything, just like Lord Ram. He banished his wife just because somebody criticized her. So they would do anything for the citizens, and the citizens would do anything for the king. And that's how it was when Srila Prabhupada was here. Because we love Srila Prabhupada, because he gave us a culture based on love, a culture based on respect, we would do anything for Prabhupada. We would work 24 hours. We wouldn't sleep. And Prabhupada would do the same for us. Jai Gonitai, Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Radhisham. So Prabhupada, he sacrificed. He only slept 2 hours. He got up at midnight, 1 o'clock, and translated these books just for us to get the benefit. And we also sacrificed for Prabhupada. We did marathons, years and years of marathons. We slept on the floor for 18 years. We didn't care. It was fun because it was for Srila Prabhupada and for Krishna. So varnashram is varnashram, which is based on Krishna consciousness, is based on love. So at the creation, the Lord created this varnashram society. The brahmanas came from the head of the Lord, from the face. The kshatriyas came from the arms. The vaishyas from the belly, and the shudras from the legs. So just like the arms, they depend on the eyes, the brain. So the kshatriyas depend on the brahmins. So Prithu, he was begging blessings from the brahmanas to rule his kingdom. So the brahmanas, they are meant to guide the society, but they don't want any power. The power, let the kshatriyas have the power. Kshatriyas want power, they can have it. The brahmanas just are happy studying and doing their service for Krishna. So with the eyes, we can see. If someone attacks us and we're blind, how can we protect ourselves? How will the legs, how will the shudras know where to go without the eyes? So the brahmanas, they must guide the society. So the king, he has to protect the citizens from danger and give employment and give them jobs, give them employment in Varnashram. Now in America, there is a problem, as Prabhupada said here. It's even worse now than when Prabhupada was here. 50 million people in America are living on food stamps. That means 50 million people don't have money for food in America, in the USA. Now I think it's up to 54 million. My son was living like that. Now he got a job. But most, a very big percentage of the people don't have money. It's going down, American society, because they didn't listen to Prabhupada. So the life of Varnashram is Krishna consciousness. If Krishna is there, then it is Daiva Varnashram. So if the Kshatriya simply tries to enjoy his position, takes taxes and doesn't give charity and doesn't care for the citizens, then everything will be finished. And Prabhupada, I was talking to Rameshwar last year, and he spent a whole month with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was telling him many, many things. And one thing he told him was that your America will be finished when there is unemployment, when there are no jobs. And now I heard that some of the biggest stores, the shops, they're closing. Walmart is one of the biggest shops. They're closing 200 shops in America because there's no middle class anymore. People don't have money to buy things, or else they do everything on internet. So that's only one. Macy's is another. So many very famous stores in America are now closing. So it's happening. It's happening what Prabhupada said here. So what is an example of a Krishna conscious king? That was Maharaj Yudhisthira. Not only the citizens cooperated in his kingdom, there is a verse in 1st Canto, 10th chapter, verse 5. It said, the rivers, the oceans, the hills, the mountains, the forests, the creepers, and the active drugs also paid their tax to Yudhisthira. So because he was under the protection of Krishna, the rivers, the oceans, they were also pleased with him. And they used to give their taxes to the king. Fruits were coming automatically from the trees. Nobody had to work. So the secret to success, Prabhupada says, is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada explains that everything in creation has a service to perform. Every blade of grass, every herb, they have a purpose to perform. The whole universal form is the body of the Lord in this material world. And each and every one of us, we're like one cell in that body. And all of the grass and all the trees, they also are a cell in that body. Just like we have a purpose, we have a service we can do for Krishna. So all of these little creepers and trees and plants, they also have a service that they can perform. Prabhupada gives an example of the rivers. The rivers, in the rainy season, the water is taken up, it's put in on the top of the hill, and then it comes down, and we get water. Just like in India, we have the tank system, the tanks on the top of the house, the water gets pumped up, and then we use it. So nature has the same thing. And if all the varnas, if we have a Krishna conscious king, then everyone will work cooperatively to help spread Krishna consciousness and to have prosperity for all. So I will just give a few examples of how people respected each other in the Varnashram system. These are examples from Srila Prabhupada. A Brahmana used to be called Panditji Maharaj. And the Kshatriya also, Maharaj, and sometimes Thakur, Prabhupada said. And the Vaishya, the merchant, was called Sethji. And the Shudra was called Chaudhary, which means leader. So Maharaj Dasharath, how did he respect the Brahmanas? He was king. He was the father of Lord Ram. When Vishwamitra came to see him, what did he ask Vishwamitra? Ahishtam yatta punarjanma jayaya. How are you doing in your progress to conquer the repetition of birth and death? He didn't ask you, how's your business? Because he's a Brahmin. Prabhupada said, Brahmana does not go to construct a big, big house. Brahmana constructs his character. So that's why we see in Gita what the qualities of a Brahman. Shama, Dhamo, Tapa, Shocham, Arjavam, Shantir. These different qualities of the Brahman. So Prabhupada says, we do not construct a house, but other, the Kshatriya and Vaishya, they call us, say, please come here and sit down. The Kshatriya, so how to greet the Kshatriya? Angira Muni, in this canto later on, he will say, how is your, I hope your body, your mind, and your royal associates are all well. I hope your kingdom is doing nicely. I hope there's no terrorism. I hope your fort and treasury are okay. So, and the Vaishya, you'll ask, how's business? Or you can ask, we have an example in Krishna book, Vasudeva met Nanda Maharaj. He said, please tell me, how is Vrindavan? Are your animals happy? Are they getting grass? Is there no problem there? Everyone is undisturbed and peaceful? So he was asking, how are your cows? Because the Vaishya has cows, supposed to, but some Vaishyas. And the Shudras, how are you? Because the Shudras think they're the body. So, therefore, how are you? Now, devotees, we should ask, how's your japa? How's your service for your Guru Maharaj going on? How's your preaching? And so there was mutual respect there between the Varnas. Srila Prabhupada, even he would call his disciples sometimes by these addresses. Pradyumna was a Sanskrit scholar. He called him Panditji. Panditji Maharaj. Where's Panditji? But after a while, some months were going by, and Pradyumna was sometimes not coming. They couldn't find him. He was hiding somewhere. So then he would ask him, he would ask Shrutakirti, where is Banditji? Bandit instead of pundit. So because he wasn't coming. So Prabhupada had a sense of humor. So everyone is needed. Everyone is needed in the Varnashram society. So what's the difference between Daiva and Daiva Varnashram and Asuric Varnashram? We said a few things, that Krishna is the center. And the goals are actually a little different. Daiva Varnashram is to please the Lord. And everyone cooperates each other to help each other spiritually. In the materialistic Varnashram, Asuric Varnashram, they want to organize an orderly society and help people advance to higher planets. And the basis is parentage, your birth. And they want to preserve the order of the higher classes. So there is the position of the higher classes. So nowadays there is a natural Varnashram, which we see in the world. That is, there is a higher class and a lower class. But now, what is the higher class? They could be the lowest character of people, but they have money. So money determines, and your parents, who you are now, who is the highest class if you go outside. So Indra was saying that, you know, I have this asura bhavam. Asura, I have this mentality of the asuras, and the asura mentality is that money is everything. So, Daiva Varnashram, Lord Brahma created four ashrams to uphold four pillars of religion. Four pillars of religion, they're described in Canto 3 and Canto 1, education, charity or cleanliness in Canto 1, charity, penance, tapasya, and truth, satya, four pillars. So the brahmacharis, they are supposed to uphold the pillar of education. That is the time they are students. Also cleanliness, very important for brahmacharis to have this, uphold this pillar of cleanliness. Then charity, that's for the grihastas. Tapasya for the vanaprastas, and truthfulness for the sannyasis. So all of them, they are meant to uphold these four pillars of religion. And if they actually do this, then we'll have a wonderful society. So sometimes Prabhupada was challenged, why you're giving this sannyas, Brahmin initiation to malechas. One professor, you know, Prabhupada said, we are creating Brahmins in the Western countries. So one professor in France, he said, don't you think that is against the Dharma Shastras? Prabhupada said no. Then he quoted Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. It's according to quality and work. If the symptoms of a Brahmin are found in a Shudra, he should be accepted as a Brahmin. So, on this principle, this movement was based. The caste Brahmanas, they say, you have to change your body. You take your birth in a nice Brahmin family, and then you can do the puja and everything. And Prabhupada said, yes, we are chanting Hare Krishna. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we're changing our subtle body. Our body is no longer, the subtle body is no longer Mlecha. It is Brahmana. It is higher than Brahmana. It is Vaishnava. It is a Vaishnava body. So we cannot see how the body is changing, but when we chant Hare Krishna, our subtle body is changing. So in one lecture, in 1966, he had a few hippies in front of him, long hair. Prabhupada said, you must all become guru, all of you. Many times he told us that. All of you become guru. Nobody is responsible for his birth. His responsibility is to advance in Krishna consciousness. There is no impediment to go back to Godhead. Your birth cannot stop you. It doesn't depend on any material condition. It is open for everyone. So the chance is given, this is the last thing Prabhupada said, you can become a Brahmin. You can become a great devotee of Lord Krishna. And you can become spiritual master of the whole world. So those were Prabhupada's exact words. So today is the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri. So I will also read a pastime from Madhavendra Puri. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 4, verses 21 to 79. So I'll summarize it. I won't read all the verses because we don't have so much time. But this pastime happened here in Vrindavan 500 years ago. Madhavendra Puri traveled to Vrindavan, where he came upon the hill known as Govardhan. He was almost mad in ecstasy of love of Godhead, and he did not know whether it was day or night. Sometimes he stood up, sometimes he fell to the ground. He couldn't tell if he was in a proper place or not. After circumambulating Govardhan, he went to Govinda Kund, took his bath, and sat beneath a tree to take his evening rest. Just then an unknown cowherd boy came with a pot of milk, placed it in front of him, and smiling, said, please drink the milk I've brought. Why don't you beg some food to eat? What kind of meditation are you doing? When he saw the beauty of that boy, Madhavendra Puri was satisfied. Hearing his words, he forgot his hunger and thirst. Who are you? He asked. Where do you live? How did you know I was fasting? And the boy said, sir, I'm a cowherd boy. I live in this village. In my village, no one fasts. In this village, a person can beg food and eat. Some people drink only milk. But if a person does not ask anyone for food, I supply him all his eatables. Isn't that interesting? Krishna is speaking here. The women who came here to take water saw you, and they gave me this milk and sent me to you. I must go very soon to milk the cows, but I shall return and take this milk pot from you. Saying this, the boy left the place. And he suddenly could be seen no more. Madhavendra Puri's heart was filled with wonder. After drinking the milk, Madhavendra Puri washed the pot and put it aside. He looked toward the path, but the boy never returned. He could not sleep. He sat and chanted Hare Krishna. At the end of night, he dozed a little. In a dream, he saw the very same boy. The boy came to him and, holding his hand, took him to a bush in the jungle. He showed him the bush and said, I live in this bush, and because of this, I suffer very much from severe cold, rain, winds, and scorching heat. Please bring the people of the village and get them to take me out of this bush. Then have me situate me nicely on top of the hill. Please make a temple and wash me with large quantities of cold water. For many days I have been watching you, and I've been wondering, when will Madhavendra Puri come here to serve me? I've accepted your service due to your ecstatic love for me, so I shall appear, and by my audience all fallen souls will be delivered. My name is Gopal. I'm the lifter of Govardhan Hill. I was installed by Vajra, and here I am the authority. When the Mohammedans attacked, the priest who was serving me hid me in this bush, and he ran away out of fear. And since then, I've been staying in this bush. Now please remove me with care. So then the boy disappeared. He woke up, Madhavendra Puri, and he said, oh, I saw Lord Krishna, but I couldn't recognize him. He cried for some time. Then he said, okay, I must do his order. He took his bath, went to the village, called the people. He said, the proprietor of this village, Govardhan Dhari, is lying in the bushes. Let's go there and rescue him from that place. So then the people came, they cut down the bushes, they cleared a path, and they saw the beautiful deity of Gopal, covered with dirt and grass. And then some strong men carried him to the top of the hill. They put him on top of one big stone and another stone behind him. And the brahmanas came, and they were washing him with 900 pots from Govinda Kund. And everyone was singing and dancing and playing musical instruments. And so much food was brought. It was just like Anakut. When Krishna was present, they made the same Anakut ceremony. So then they bathed him, they dressed him. And the wonderful thing about this was that everything happened in one day. Within one day, they got together all the food, the cooking, the installation, and everything. So Prabhupada has a wonderful purport about this. He said, here's a translation, 79. The wonderful festival and installation of Gopaji was arranged in one day. Certainly all this was accomplished by the potency of Gopal. No one but a devotee can understand this. So Prabhupada compared this installation to ISKCON. So again, this purport from Madhya Lila, this was written 5 years after the movement started. The Krishna conscious movement has spread all over the world within a very short time, within 5 years. And mundane people are very astonished at this. So that must have been 1970, 71 that he wrote this, depending on if he counted 65 or 66. So within 5 years already, Prabhupada said, now this has spread all over the world. And we were only like 500, maybe at most 1,000 devotees at that time. So however, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, we understand everything is possible by the grace of Krishna. Why does Krishna have to take 5 years? In 5 days he can spread his glory. This is the purport. His name and fame all over the world like wildfire. Those who have faith and devotion to Krishna can understand these things happen so wonderfully by the grace of Krishna. So then he gives us some advice. If the preachers in our Krishna conscious movement are sincere devotees of Krishna, Krishna will always be with them because he's very kind and favorable to all his devotees. Just as Arjuna and Krishna were victorious in battle of Kurukshetra, this Krishna conscious movement will surely emerge victorious if we but remain sincere devotees of the Lord and serve the Lord according to the advice of the previous acharyas, six Goswamis, and other devotees. Narottam Das Thakur has said, Tadder chana sevi bhakta shanivash, janame janame hoy e abhilash. The Krishna conscious devotees must always desire to remain in the society of devotees, bhakta shanivash. They cannot go outside the Krishna conscious society or movement. Within the society, we must try to serve the predecessors by preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult and spreading his name and fame all over the world. If we attempt this seriously, it will be successfully done. There is no question of estimating how it will happen, but without a doubt, it happens by the grace of Krishna. So, Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. If there is any questions, you can ask at this point. Yes, there's a microphone here. So when Srila Prabhupada was here, His desire was to create the whole society of brahmanas. But as the years went by, we saw that not everybody could stay on the... When Prabhupada was here, it was easy. He made us all be on that level of brahmanas. He would chastise us or praise us, and either way, we would stay there. After Prabhupada's physical departure, then it was a little bit more difficult. And we can see that how devotees, they went to their own level. Some were acting more like kshatriyas, some were like vaishyas, some like shudras. So it's not like we have to establish vanashram. Devotees will naturally go to their, to where they belong. But it, what I remember is last year's Vyasa Puja, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he put, he was at, with Srila Prabhupada in 1977, and Srila Prabhupada said to Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and this you can read in the Vyasa Puja book of last year, the quotation, he said that, only half of my work is finished. I did not establish vanashram. And then he clarified that, and he said, it is for those who are outside people, that they cannot follow the rules and regulations of bhakti. So for them, vanashram must be established. We cannot force people in ISKCON, okay, you're a shudra, you're this, you're that. It's not by force. It will happen naturally. Everyone will show in time who they naturally are. They will come to their own level. So it is for the to engage the whole world. And the way Prabhupada applied the varnashram was that he would say, you do what you like to do, what you naturally do, but do it for Krishna. So that's varnashram. You do your what is your natural propensity, but you do it as an offering for Krishna. And so, yes, he had high expectations. He expected all of us to be preachers. And, of course, there is no limitation. You can be in the varnashram and be a preacher also. There is no limitation. But as far as I understand from His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, when Prabhupada made the comment that I did not establish varnashram, he clarified and said it was for the outside people who cannot follow the rules and regulations of bhakti, who cannot do hearing and chanting. And you'll find that in many purports also, that if you cannot do the hearing and chanting, then you should follow, do your duties, your natural propensity, and offer it to Krishna. Yak karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi yad asi yad. All that you eat, all that you offer and give away, do it as an offering to me, Krishna says. Any other questions? Yes. This Mataji behind the pole. Charity.
But we are sometimes confused. On the roadside, we just go by. So many bags in the bag. They are really, they are money. One day I was being prashad for something. I said, no, I don't want to stop. Only money. I'm going to keep.
So what kind of charity we should give? You have to read Bhagavad Gita, and it tells three kinds of charity: goodness, passion, ignorance. So if you give to somebody to help them go to the liquor shop and buy liquor, then that's charity in the mode of ignorance. So here Prabhupada wanted prasadam. He wanted to prasad distribution. And if they don't want prasadam, that means they're not hungry. They don't want prasadam. If they're really hungry, if they're starving, then they will be very happy to take prasadam. But sometimes Prabhupada even gave the beggars money a little bit. He said, because if we don't give, then we'll become hard-hearted. So you have to discriminate. Yes, that is that you have to make that intelligent decision. Who to? I don't want to tell you, don't give. I will get, if I say don't give, I will get in trouble. If I say give, I will get in trouble. So either way, I won't say. But you have to use... You read Bhagavad Gita chapter 17. Charity in the mode of goodness is for those, for the brahmanas, the Vaishnavas. Charity in the mode of passion is for others who are... You want something back in return. You want to... You worship a, a, a high man and you give him some charity and he gives you something in return. And charity in the mode of ignorance is for people who will misuse it. Any other questions? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.